Thank you for joining us today on Glad Tidings, and you're listening to Pastor Linda Koo. We hope you are inspired by this message.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, GT family. Good to see all of you. Okay, why don't you turn around to your neighbor, give high five, fist bump to those around you. Okay, you may be seated. Wow, that was powerful. 1 minute presentations. Thank you, worship team. Powerful. I'm sure you are. Yes, I'm ready to sign up for the creative ministry. Right, either the choir, you know, the worship team, and you know, all those Christmas program, those who can act, we are inspired. We will sign up. Amen. Huh? Pastor Michael, we'll sign up. Praise the Lord. You know, last week was a powerful weekend, right? For Good Friday and Easter. And I remember Pastor Michael, I think you shared on nightmare. And the nightmare of, remember his nightmare? What? Coming to, going to classes late, right? Going to school late. That is wow. But I never had that, you know. Not that I go to school early, but I never had that. But one of the things that I had actually when I became a minister was in the area, nightmares about preaching. Oh, you know, it's scary, you know. I remember a few times coming to the, you know, to the pulpit. Suddenly, where is my sermon? As I preach, I forgot about preparing a sermon. Wow, that is nightmare, right? And then I will remember also another occasion, so vivid. Suddenly, I'm going to preach. And suddenly, I look into the congregation. My BCM lecturers were all there looking at me. I said, well, am I prepared? My principal, you know, Bible school principal. My wow, these are times of, then we call it the nightmare. And yesterday, this morning actually, I still remember it because when you wake up with a nightmare, you will remember. Maybe throughout last night, you might not remember. And so my nightmare was, I was preaching this morning. Wow, and it's happened, it's true, right? I'm preaching. But the nightmare was, I was not preaching here. I was preaching in another church. I was preaching in Sri Damansara. All right, our GT Sri Damansara. And I remember looking for the church. And was not driving. I was walking and looking for the church. I was a bit, come on, it's time already. By the time I find the church, I might be late. So I searched here, searched there. I went to different churches, you know. I somehow knew how to go to different churches. Do you know where GT Sri Damansara is? And they said, no, we don't know. You know, and we'll go to another church. And that was scary because time already. And finally, somehow, as the nightmare went, I saw the pastor of Sri Damansara. Okay, am I late? Am I late? And then she brought me to the church. I can't remember going to the church. I woke up already. So thankful it's a nightmare. Have you had experience like that? You woke up and so, it was just a nightmare. Ooh. And I thank God this morning, I came early. I made it to church. I didn't get lost. And I have my sermon. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm prepared. Okay, let's see. And this, you know, do you remember what is our theme for 2023? Shift, right? Shift. But what is some of our emphasis for this year? The three emphasis that we want to, for this year and maybe a few more years. One is family, right? Good. Second is, oops, discipleship. By today you should remember, family, discipleship, and the area of leadership development. Okay, please remember, this is something our church as a GT family, that's what we want to emphasize on. Okay, family, discipleship, and leadership empowerment, leadership development. And today, and a few more weekends, we were dealing with discipleship. We have done family in February, especially a lot on the family of God, your family. This time, we want to talk on discipleship. Now, Jesus, remember last week we had Good Friday, and then we had Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And then when he rose from the dead for 40 days. He was seen. And one of the last recorded instruction of the Lord Jesus to his church, to his disciples, is just this word. I want to summarize it. Go and make disciples. That was Jesus' instruction to them. That was the purpose. Yay, disciples. When I am gone, this is your purpose. Go and make disciples. And in Matthew 28, 19 to 20 says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That was Jesus' instruction to them. It is the Great Commission. Most of you will know it, right? It is the Great Commission. Hi to those online. Yeah, I forgot about them. Hi. Don't go to the toilet. Don't go and take your breakfast now. Huh? Listen, sit down. Kidding them. Go and make disciples. It is the Great Commission, not a great suggestion, not a great option, because that is not an option. It is a command from God. Go and make disciples. So what is a disciple? Am I a disciple or am I a convert? It's a different thing, huh? A convert and a disciple. Go and make disciple. Okay, disciple, the Greek word is M-A-T-H-E-T-S. How do you pronounce? Matis? Matis? Okay, it is a learner. A learner, a follower of Jesus. So to be a disciple is be a follower of Jesus, be a learner of Jesus. So now, the question is, what is discipleship? Okay, we want to be a follower of Jesus. We want to learn from Jesus. How do we do discipleship? Okay, and I want to give you this phrase, which I, you know, was searching for meaning of discipleship. And I found this, I add in, put them together, found it's quite clear on what discipleship is, okay? Discipleship is helping believers mature in their faith, okay? Mature in their faith, developing them to be, to do, and to think like Jesus. And it's not over, okay? These are two areas. Another thing is, which should result in fruitful ministry. So we base it on that. How are we making disciples? Are we doing that? So what is the mode, therefore, of making disciples? Do we say, hey, everyone, there's equip course coming, you know, spiritual encounters coming up. Please do sign up. And I agree, you should sign up if you haven't done that for spiritual encounter. Maybe there's a mature course. You need to continue to grow as a Christian. Do go for mature. Or maybe you're not in a connect group yet. I'm not asking anyone to put up a hand. Those of you who are in connect group, put up a hand. Okay? Yes, I see many, many hands. Okay, I didn't notice those who are hands are not put down, was down. So I was watching for those who are up. And I hope that those, we encourage everybody. That's the pastor's heart. Everybody be in connect group. Okay, it could be that discipleship involves that. So what is the mode of making disciples? Is it, you know, do we have your reading plan? Read. Make sure you finish Genesis to Revelation. Make sure you do your reading plan from January to December. Is it that area of discipleship? So what is actually discipleship? Yes, all these are important. But I want my sermon has to do with four relationships. It's in relationships. Four relationships that will help us. This is the key to discipleship in our relationship. What Christianity is? Relationship, basically. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not rituals. If not, it become a religion. This is what you do. Like the Pharisees, you know. Oh my God, you cannot walk how many miles on Sabbath. You cannot do this. And so, religion, it became a religion instead of relationship. What's Christianity to us? We relate. Right? There are four key relationship. So we're going to use two portions of scripture. Okay? Acts chapter 2. And Hebrews chapter 10. And from these two portions of scriptures, we want to talk about four key relationships in your discipleship making. So, connect leaders, zone leaders, please take note. This is how we want to raise disciples in our connect group, in our church. Okay? Come, can we stand up to read together? Four relationships. Let's read, first of all, Acts chapter 2. 42 to 47. Okay. 1, 2, 3. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's from Acts chapter 2. Carry on. Let's look at now Hebrews. Let's read together Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, what to do? Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings. Secondly, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty and conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us, what do? Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God bless the reading of His word. Thank you so much. So these two scriptures that we're going to use, the first one, Acts chapter 2, it talks about the twofold structure of the church, the early church, and also the example for us as the church of Jesus Christ to follow the example of this early church. And in Hebrews chapter 10, it is a passage too. Like, it's like continuation from last week. We had Good Friday, we had Easter, and there were powerful sermons. And you could so vividly, right, hear what Jesus went through for you. He was scourged, He was whipped, and this whip had thorns, or we had bones, and we had, you know, all these sharp objects. And even when it whipped in the back of Jesus, it tore His skin. It tore even the bones, and the blood would gush out. And all this Jesus went, the crown of thorns, right, and carrying of the cross, and how He was, you know, He fell along the way. And all this He went through because to open up the way for us. Let us now come before Lord. We had confidence to enter into the presence of God. And the curtain that was torn from the top to the bottom, that now we, you and I, have forgiveness. You and I can boldly come into the presence of God and find forgiveness for our sins. And we can now live a new and living way. And that's what Hebrews tells us. So what is our response? What is our response now? Jesus has done it all for us. And therefore, in this relationship, when see that we as people of God want to respond to the Lord, and today, may you respond to the Word of God and say, yes, from today on, there's some things I've neglected, but today I decide I'm going to follow. I'm going to do what is the Word of God tells us. So the four relationships, key, four relationships to our spiritual growth. Firstly, right, Christianity is not about religion, right? It is about relationship. So the first one is, you need to develop your relationship with God. That's the first thing. Relationship with God. Hebrews 10, 22. Let us draw near. Let us come near with sincere heart. And yet, you know, it's so powerful. With the full assurance that when you come to God, it is not with fear and trembling that will He accept me. It is with full assurance He will accept us. That the faith in God brings. You and I have that because of what Jesus has done for us. That is that God has said, come, come, draw near to me. So the first relationship, connect leaders, right, leaders of the church, that we need to help a believer, especially a new believer, is in developing his relationship or her relationship with God is about God, is about Jesus. You know, one of the things that you must help is to help that person pray, right? If he's developing relationship with God, does he know how to pray? Does he know how to, you know, just talk to God? Does he know what to do? You know, what are some things that you can help him pray? And also the other areas, does he know how to read the Word of God? So we need to guide that person in the Word of God. So in the life of Christ, especially in the beginning, you know, that's why we always say, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John first, okay? Read this, because it's about the life of Christ. And then we will encourage that person, hey, equip course, if there's a course offered on the life of Christ, do enter that, do go and join, because you need to know about Jesus, that relationship with Jesus. Because the Bible reveals to us about the God we serve. It's not from other materials. It is the Bible that says this is how God revealed himself. You need to know the Bible. And so therefore, we also ask you, right? Apart from this, right? Those days, we always use this. This is where we call it time alone with God today. Have you done your time alone with God? And this is very specific. Help you to say, hey, get ready to hear from God. Read now the Word of God. How to reflect. What are things to pray for? So you, if you do not know, then this is something that's very helpful for you to build your relationship with God. And also, guide the person to go for journey guide. Right? Those things? Yeah? Journey guide. We need to, do you know what you did when you accept Christ? Do you know what are the first things? What are some things that are bondages in your life that you need to, you know, get set free from? These are things you need to help that person. We cannot just throw the baby like the baby. He's a newborn baby. Throw, you know, and say, okay, take care of yourself, feed yourself. The bottle is here. No, we need to handhold the new Christian. If you bring someone to Christ, begin to help that person build their relationship with God. That's very important. You know, how many of you are less than a year Christian here? Anyone? Can you just put your hand there? New Christian, yes, I see a new Christian there. Anyone? Any more? New Christians? Yeah? Okay, there's some new Christians here. And therefore, be willing to say, hey, I'm very new, can you help me? Go to a connect group and ask someone, guide me. You know, so this is very important, your relationship with God. You know, I thank God when I received Jesus Christ as a teenager. You know, I have people who followed me up. I remember someone coming over to my house. This was a young adult, and she, you know, taught me the scriptures and a few people, and they taught me. And one of the things I was telling them, I remembered when my teacher on my Bible study, you know, teacher was guiding me to the Word, and we were just enjoying ourselves. We were eating kwachi, and he was, you know, eating kwachi, and he was teaching me the Word of God. And these are sort of the opportunities for us to grow. Someone who has gone ahead of you to help you to grow. So the same thing, you as a believer, as a disciple, can also help someone grow. Okay, don't just receive. You also need to give and help that person. Because I was saying, you know, I thank God for the follow-up. Because I was not a sort of, you know, you think, wow, you know, Pastor, well, I'm sure you're a teenager, very obedient. No, I was not. My mother, can you imagine, my mother wrote me a letter, you know. Mother writing letter to a daughter, no need to speak, because too much, you cannot speak already. Write letter already. Second level already. Write me letter and say.
If this message has encouraged you or inspired you, we hope that you will take the next step and visit our website or follow us on social media to get connected. We have other messages and live gatherings that will bless your life. Now back to the Word.
So sad. Why are you like that? Why are you so disobedient? And even as a teenager, nowadays I don't think I was caned, you know? How many of you had caning before? Oh, you also had. I was caned. I stood there defiant. Teenager, very defiant. I sat there. I stood there, you know? If she caned me, I don't want to tell her that it's painful, you know? So I just held it in, you know? Pow! That was how my defiant, and she had to write me a letter. But thank God, no, if your children are very naughty, there's hope they can be pastors next time. ah, it can be, because I was very different. I was a party goer. Huh? Yo! Yeah, I go party, dancing, you know. Those days, my time, I will tell you what my age. We do agogo. Huh? Nobody knows agogo now, I think. Oh, you know agogo. You also do agogo. Agogo, crazy horse. Those were the names of our dance, you know. And God saved me. And God challenged me to serve Him. And when I served, one of my mentors was my youth pastor. He took time to, you know, mentor us, disciple us. And so from there we grew. I began to serve God in my college and so on. And then we need, therefore, that close mentoring, that close relationship with someone who can mentor us. Secondly, okay, let me go on. We have to build a relationship with a small group of Christians. What is it? Are they called? Connect group, yes! I didn't tell you why, you found out yourself, right? It is the connect group. It is the connect group. Sometimes you say, you know, Pastor, again you say a connect group. It is true, because you heard about just now, right? Anyone read just now, Acts chapter 2? They met in the temple courts, and they met where? In the homes. So there's a two structure. They came here, right here, the church, the congregation, for the instruction of the apostles. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And they also fellowship in the homes. You must fellowship in the homes. And in, if you read those, the chapter 2, 42 to 47, you hear those words. They were together. They were together. They ate together. Everyone is the together. Together means what? Together. Yeah, together, yeah. Yeah? Well, two of us, three of us, together. We must meet together. So the first structure is the area of the congregation devoted to apostles' teaching. The second group, the small group, the connect group, the care group, whatever it's called, they would what? Discuss. This is where the participation comes in. Here is spectator. You watch me. Nobody ask questions, please, right? Nobody is discussing anything. But in the connect group, we discuss. We apply. We say, hey, you know what does God say? Hey, share your testimony. And there is the interaction in the connect group, which is very vital, that you can have a say. You can say, I don't understand. I need prayer. Therefore, that is the together, life together as a connect group. Right? The word koinonia. Koinonia means what? What is called? Fellowship. And it means participation, sharing, communion. We need to have this. Many of us, you know, have friends. I was saying, we have a lot of friends. I think you have 1,000 over, Pastor Grant. Huh? In your Facebook friends, 1,000 over. Yeah, we have a lot. How many of you have 1,000 friends in Facebook? But there's no such thing as koinonia fellowship in your Facebook. You might know where they went for holiday. You might know what they ate yesterday. That is our pastime, Malaysian. Take photo of everything we eat. Yeah, nah? And then we'll show, hi, this new restaurant. But that is good. I'm not against it. Don't worry. You all can have all the Facebook friends you want and learn from all over the world, whatever. But this is not koinonia. It is not just when Jesus says, follow me, it does not make click the like button and follow me. It does not mean that. Follow means really that relationship. So in the same way, we cannot have that koinonia in our online, in a sense. There is, you cannot like touch the screen and have that, sorry, I don't mean you all, I'm not meaning you all, those who are online, I'm meaning those virtual. But if it convicts you, come next service, next week, right, next week come. I'm not meaning you, but if it really convicts you, praise the Lord, come, we want to see you. And I thank God for many of you here who have come, because this is where really the koinonia, the fellowship is. Okay, so we need that koinonia. We need that relationship where we encourage one another. So what is the purpose of a connect group? What is the purpose? It is that disciples are discipled. The connect group, the main purpose is where you and I get discipleship. And you and I, another thing is that we are part of a family. We become part of a family. Here is through the congregation. We hello, how, good morning, and then we disappear already, right? And do our own things. But in the koinonia, in that fellowship, we share the life of Christ. We believe here in Glad Tidings, the pastors and all of us believe relational discipleship will help you grow. Do have koinonia. Okay. How often should we meet? Say, they meet every day, lah. Huh? I'm not asking you to meet every day. In those days, wow, they met every day, nearly every day in the courts. And all. But here, I think the secret lies here. In verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Some begin to stop meeting. They were no longer in the habit of meeting. They were stopped. They had it wasn't a habit anymore. Because there were people who make it a habit. Some people stop the habit of meeting. And I think the secret here is the consistency. That you meet consistently, you meet faithfully, you meet regularly. Make it a habit. I put it very, make it a habit to meet. You know, I was saying, you know, sometimes I feel very sad, right, when you look at, because I'm many times in a lot of my connect groups, I'm in the WhatsApp group also. They put me in, so I know, sort of know what's happening. And Friday, I will see the leader say, hey, today we are having, you know, our meeting, whether it's physical or we're meeting in Zoom. And then I will see, there are many times, thank God for those who are coming. But many times I will see, sorry, we can't make it, we're away. Sorry, we have this, sorry, we have that, sorry. And I feel so sad, as I said before, right? It's so sad for the leaders. Like yesterday, right? Is it yesterday? Today is Friday. I remember one leader said, hey, we are going to meet today. And then, again, I can't because I'm away on holiday. One was saying, I'm in Nepal, you know, I'm so on. And then one of the members said, hi, leader, I think it's you and me and a dog named Boo. How many of you know this song? Oh, so I know your age. Me and you and a dog named Boo, you know. And then the leader said, for those who might not know that this is a song, and I'm not having a dog named Boo, you know. But it's sad, you know, in a sense sometimes. I know there are many who have reasons. I'm not, you know, chastising them, you know. Though, seriously, you need to make it more habit, lah, to come. We need to habitually, I like to read this, consistency is crucial. Consistency is crucial to a connect group because a meeting up regularly allows you and the people in your connect group to build trust, develop solid relationships, and journey through your life's challenges. Once a month, once in, some 3 times a year, is it possible to build relationship? You tell me. It's hard. So we need to be consistent. We need to be regular. Okay, to encourage one another. Okay, go on. The next relationship is relationship with my GT family, my church. And I'm so happy you have made GT your family. And those new ones coming today, welcome to make this your family too. This is my family. Christian cannot say, I want to do my own way. I want to do, journey my Christian walk alone. I don't need anybody. I can just read the Bible. I can pray to God. I can switch on the TV and there I'm in the service already. All over the world, I can hear all types of services. But it's not God's will for you to do such thing, right? Not God's will to anybody to follow that star. We need community. Jesus had already given us community. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we possess, for he who promised is faithful. God's Christians, realize that the world out there is not going to embrace you and help you along. Hey, continue to pray, continue to read the Bible. No, there are many challenges in the world. All right, even in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, you see what they face. They say, these people are drunk. And after they begin to put Peter and John in the prison, they begin to threaten them. They flog the apostles. And after that, we see what happened. They killed Stephen. And the next one, the church scattered. So there was a persecution in the church, the early church. So therefore, the Lord says, hey, hold tight, hold fast to the hope we profess. And how we can do it is because God has put you in this family. God has put you in this family, whatever challenges we face. Do you know your pastors? How many of you know all your pastors? Oh, okay, you know all your pastors. Or how many of you know your own pastor at least? Nobody knows your own pastor. Connect leaders, you don't know your own pastor. As a church family, get to know at least the main pastor lah. Pastor Michael, everyone know who's the main pastor or not? Yes, you should know, main pastor and his wife. Yeah, let's give a hand. The beautiful grand. You must know the key people in your church, the pastors, the your zone pastors, the leaders, the zone leaders. Get to know, right? Get to know what is the practice of your church. We do communion, we do baptism. And you know, as we were saying about baptism, I'm so excited. Yesterday morning, I saw, wow, 18, 19 youth. And what I was so impressed about is, you know, the pastors were baptized. But the leaders, the young leaders, the youth leaders were praying for their members that were getting baptized. They prayed for them because they followed them. They helped them grow. You know, that is exciting. You know, that all of them, they felt, yes, my next step, I want to be water baptized, following the Lord. So relationship is very important because we have challenges, we need each other. I'm going to share with you, and some of you would know because you were walking with me, journeying with me. Today is 16 April. 14 April, my sister went in for a major operation, hysterectomy, right? Because she had ovarian cancer. And already the doctor has told us together, he said it's fourth stage. And we will just do the operation to remove everything. And the day of the operation, I was staying over, and because I wanted to be with my sister. After operation, the doctor called me immediately after operation. He said, you know, these are all what I took out. All the tumors, wow, there was large ones, you know, tumors, the bones, and I just looked at it. And what she told me was really that my heart dropped. My heart dropped, really. She said, I've done the best. I've scraped even the bowels that had cancer, the layer of the bowel. And said, even if your sister survived this operation, and if she goes for chemo, if she goes, the most she can survive is 5 years. The most, maximum. Hearing that in the middle or the late night, in the early morning, alone, I didn't know what to do. I just stared at the doctor. And she just had to be matter-of-factly, right? You can't beat with you, you know. And after that, I just went to the chair and I just cried before the Lord. In the days that, the difficult days of April and May, she went back to the Lord on May 25th, my mother's birthday. That's how I can remember very well. Those days that it was so tough, being in the hospital every day, morning, lunchtime I would go, night I would go, and it was tired, taking a toll. I still do ministry. But I thank God for my church family. Thank God for the pastors. I thank God for, you know, close friends. I thank God for the board. I thank God for those, my zone, my leaders, the Subang, and many people who are there for me. They will send prayers every time I say, hey, I think she might, you know, be going already. And so they will send prayers. They will come to pray. And when I was so tired in the hospital, sitting down, I was so happy when people came and just went to the room. She was ICU. They would just go in the room, worship and pray with her, that I could come out and just rest a while. This is the church family that I have, a caring family that will remember and say, hey, how are you doing? Are you okay? They sustain me. And you might think, some of them, you know, we operate, why did she still die? You know, I left it to the Lord, actually. And I told my sister, if God wants to heal you, he can. But if God takes you, you know, and he says, hey, you know, I'm going to take you. Go with Jesus. Go with Jesus. You know, I always believe that Jesus is God. The Word of God says, God is close to the brokenhearted. And you might be going through a very tough time. Many people have lost their loved ones. You have lost a husband. I cannot imagine that. Just my leader, right? Just dropping dead, and the wife, no final words, you know, also. But God, I believe, would heal them in a different way and what she needed. And what I needed too, when a few days before she went on and I couldn't communicate, she was already in a coma. I couldn't. But God needed that I need closure. I need closure. And therefore, when I was in the hospital, I just held her hand. And I said, you know, I was just praying along. And suddenly, she gripped my hand with such a strong grip. It was not those weakling, but it was a strong grip. Both hands. And I called my friend, hey, Lauren is gripping me. And, you know, and I didn't think, you know, in a sense, finally, that, wow, maybe she will live. But it was to me what I needed, that it was a closure for me. When she said, hey, sister, I'm going already. This is my last time that I will communicate with. This is that grip was saying, thank you. Thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you for being there for me. You know, the time that I needed you to stay, you were there. I just felt that her message to me of thank you, and but I'm going to my Lord. Hey, don't be so sad for me. I'm going to Jesus. And that was the message, because God knows what we need. And that was my closure. That even when the doctor called me on immediately, when I was holding the hand, she called me and said, I just want to prepare you. Actually, your sister more or less has gone already. You can see her eyes, there's no more reaction. She has gone. That means so much more to me that God, even when she actually has more or less gone, God gave her that time to find closure with me, to give me that closure that, bye, Lauren. Thank you. I keep on saying thank you for that closure for me. Because God understands. When you are in that need, God knows. But He has also sent us that fellowship of believers. Thank you, Pastor Gwen. Also being there for me and a lot of pastors here, Pastor Michael and, you know, and others who are, I got too many to call. That. I said Catherine and Chris was there very often just to pray with her, sing song, you know, and all those things. Thank you, family. And you need this family. You need that regular, you know, that interaction with this family. You need to know who are your pastors, who are your leaders that you can share. Say, pray for me. You need to know your connect members who can be with you. I get so, you know, excited when I see, you know, wow, these connect members, for when they are having that, losing a loved one, they will go there for the funerals just to be with the family members, taking time. This is family. This is doing life together. Well, thank you. Another thing, finally, actually, is area in this area of we need to serve God together. It's not just, you know, having, you know, ministering to one another. What is discipleship, especially the last part, which should result in fruitful ministry. It should result in fruitful ministry because we come together to serve. There are many already, just now we say about serving. Are you giving your part to the Lord? Stir one another. I don't want to stir you. They were all, what were they doing? They were stirring you to serve God, to do something for God, not just receive, but do something. He has done so much for us. Can you not just be in a ministry to bless somebody? If you have been 10 years in the Connect group, maybe it's time for you to be associate leader with your leader. Maybe it's time for you, right, to serve somewhere, whether it's in the ushers, somewhere in the children ministries, do something for the Lord. And I'm closing with this. The next relationship is a relationship with your oikos. You need that relationship with your oikos, meaning the pre-believers in your life. You have non-Christian friends. Don't lose those friends when you become a Christian. They you need to reach them. You need to reach them for the Lord. Because many times we lose our, okay, we are now with Humbaya, my friend, Humbaya, and then we forgot about all our non-Christian. No, we are here for a reason. The Lord hasn't taken us home. We need to reach out to our pre-believers friend. That's the last, there's the fourth thing. The key also is your pre-believing family, pre-believing loved ones, your colleagues and so on. So I'm going to end this with what is your let us. After what Jesus has done, the curtain, no suffering for us, let us. So let you, what is your next step? What is your let us? What relationship you need to grow? Is there a water baptism you need to take? Is it something that you need to serve God? Let us. Jesus has done so much. Now it's our part now. Let us. Let us. Let's stand to our feet. As the musicians and the, just play a song. I want to give an opportunity for us to pray with you. No, relationships is hard, right? Some of you, when I talk about relationship, you already say, you know, I have a lot of broken relationship. I've been hurt. I'm angry. Even connect groups, many have walked out. I'm sure some have walked out because of maybe, you know, differences. Don't leave any relationship, you know, because of the hurts. Don't let Satan, don't let the enemy, you know, rob you of good relationship, healthy relationships that help you to grow. Iron sharpen iron. And if you have someone difficult in your connect group, don't run away, because that's discipleship. Because that's where you learn to love. That's where you learn to accept. And so therefore, today I want to talk about a relationship. And today you want to come and say, oh God, okay, I'm willing to let go. Whatever hurts, whether it's family hurts, it's connect group hurts, whether it's a colleague's, you are willing to let go and say, God, I'm willing to, God, ask to forgive, to let go, and to build real new relationship. And with that, I want to pray with you as the worship team.
Thank you for listening to Glad Tidings. We hope that you are encouraged by this message. If you would like weekly updates, be sure to follow us on Spotify. To find out more about the life of our church, visit us on our website at gladtidings.my or follow us on social media. Once again, thank you for tuning in. God bless.